Radio.
This is Kelly Hart with the North Sound Racing Sprint Car and Open Wheel Report for March 27th. This Saturday night at Evergreen Speedway, the Northwest Sprint Car season opens up with the 2008 version of the Doug James Memorial Race, the first race of the 13-race NSRA season. For NSRA, those expected to battle for the title in 2008, returning 2007 champion Andy Alberding in the 76 car, Jeff Montgomery, the 2006 champion in the 33J. Jake Mann will be back in the 51, Robert Beck in the 3 car, Jeff Bird from Canada in the 55, Kevin Burke in the 65 car, Todd Coleman in the 44, Larry Davies in the 46 car, RJ Fronsman's coming back to the series, he'll be driving the Monty Zima Racing 25 car, Sierra Jackson will also be in a 25 car, Justin Mack in the 17 car, and Greg Middendorf will be driving the 4. At each of the 6 tracks that the series will venture to, they expect 10 to 15 local drivers, making for a field of 25 to 30 cars total. One of the very cool things about the NSRA and the first race of the season is watching all the guys that usually run dirt or only one asphalt show a year show up and try to take on the regular pavement guys. It's always a who's who of Northwest Sprint Car Racing, either in the pits or the track or in the grandstands. The ASA NSRA drivers currently hold 20 all-time track records at tracks throughout the region. Taking a look at results from over the weekend, Skagit Speedway defending 410 Sprint champion Brock Lemley and former NST Rookie of the Year Seth Bergman ventured southward. They went to Chico, California for the Silver Cup race for 360 Sprints at Silver Dollar Speedway. Lemley finished 6th in the Saturday A main event, with Bergman claiming the 16th spot after transferring from the B main. Northwest race teams are gearing up for their season openers in the next month, and we'll be telling you about who's in what ride for 2008 in next week's report. I'm Kelly Hart with the Northwest Sprint Car and Open Wheel Report for North Sound Racing on North Sound 1380 KRKO.
KRKO Everett.
ESPN Radio has been your official home for Major League Baseball for over 10 years.
Left field, walk-off home run, goodbye, game over!
And the 2008 season kicks off with Sunday Night Baseball when the Atlanta Braves visit the Washington Nationals.
Way back into right field, at the wall, goodbye, a grand slam home run!
The boys of summer are back Sunday at 5 on North Sound 1380 ESPN Radio.
The party's across the street featuring the greatest band in the world. More Day to Time.
Buddy Long, has Wimmer shown any indication of trying to get around Busch at least in these last few laps?
Well, you know, I was just thinking about that with Kyle Busch. He's just showing a never-give-up attitude. His car is still very good. I don't know if Wimmer can get around him right now. I think Busch's car is running that well that Wimmer just can't do anything with him for the moment.
And welcome back to North Sound Racing. Steve Mortland here, Carla Heath, Galen Stewart, Ron Bennett over there, Scott Ellsworth to my right. Is not a bad place for Scott to be. Good to have you back with us. Thanks, again, to Ron Fritzley and Jill Lang. Jill will be, I think, as Ron mentioned earlier on, I think Jill is going to be, she's going to be up there when it comes. I like that thought he brought up about how the crate motor is going to do out there. I also want to make sure and thank Action Auto Parts for allowing us to present this show to you on Thursday nights. Sam Blasters Incorporated for being with us. I want you to stay tuned. On the radio side, unfortunately, we can't put this on the internet, but the Alltel Pit Report is with Brett McMillan, and we'll have an interview with the president and general manager and lead announcer, Doug Rice, next week when our Samsung 500 preview out at Texas Motor Speedway. This reminder, and after this, I will shut up. The Goodies Cool Orange 500 coming up this Sunday at 10:15 a.m. live from Martinsville Speedway in Martinsville, Virginia. We are continuing our focus on the opener out at Evergreen Speedway, the Super Speedway of the West. Another segment with Ron and Scott, and then we're going to concentrate on our sprint car friends. We still have an interview. We're going to round out the last hour with Gary Lewis, and Gary is working as we speak.
Yep.
He and the crew are out at the Lewis Racing Shop out in Snohomish, so they'll have the short tow. Galen, you had some questions.
Well,
Fire away, sir.
I got both barrels loaded for Mr. Bennett.
Fire away.
First of all, during before we started the show and during the breaks, you can see the concern on Ron's face going into this first event, and I asked him if he was nervous, and I'm going to ask you again, Ron, same question, and are you nervous going into this first race, or are you kind of excited?
Well, I'm very excited. Nervous is not a good word, but apprehensive. Where this is a big, big race for us, and it's a big race for Lex Johnson, who had just taken over the Evergreen Speedway, and it's the last race that Mickey Beadle is going to be around to help out on a regular basis. They've spent an awful lot of money in preparation for this race and in advertising and so forth, and it's a chance for racers like Jill Lang to come out and race with us and to run on a tour, and some of the local guys that will not be following us all year long but want to come out and race with what we consider the best competitors in the Northwest. We also have our sponsors coming up the first time, that Echo Outdoor Power Equipment, Mr. Jerry Copsa, is going to be coming up from California, and we're happy to have them with us. Echo Outdoor Power Equipment is very big in the Midwest ASA Tour, and they've signed on with us this year. This could turn into be a very good thing for us. It has been very helpful already, as they've helped us with signage and with pocket schedules and with posters and stuff like that to put out, and it just elevates us on up. They've enabled us to put together a show car that we're going to take out to some of the Echo dealers throughout the year. And we're looking forward to that. Am I apprehensive? Yes, because I want it to be a big, big show. All of the entrants that Scott talked about a little while ago, every one of those people, it's not somebody that says, I think I'm going to make it or I'm going to try to make it. Those are all people who said, I will be there. So we feel that we have a chance for a very, very good field. And it's always nice to come back to Evergreen. This is where it started. Dennis Huth is coming out from ASA. He's on an airplane right now as we speak to come out for all the things that are going to happen tomorrow and then into the race on Saturday. So, yeah, I'm apprehensive. I'm not nervous. We've done everything we can do up to this point. If we aren't prepared by now, we'll never be prepared, but apprehensive is probably a better word.
Ron, the you speak of all the cars. This is a question that it may be a little difficult to answer, and I'd hate to blindside you with it, but it's one that's been chipping on me a little to ask, and I'm glad I'm going to get the opportunity. And the Tour was always based on the 9-to-1 engine. Last year, some things changed, and, you know, maybe some people are a little critical of some of the changes, and I think you're well aware of what I'm talking about, and I was just wondering if maybe you'd be interested in commenting.
I'm more than happy to comment. I'm very, very thankful that you asked that question, Galen, because it does need to be talked about, and you're going to have to probably shut me up here, Steve, after okay. I go for a while, because I could talk about this particular subject for a long time.
I'll give you 7 minutes.
In 1985, when the Tour started, and they went to the, well, it wasn't in 1985, but in the late 80s, early 90s, when they went to the 9-to-1 motor, it was a very, very, very good thing to do. It was very cost-effective. They went to it lowered the compression on the engine. The idea was to make those engines live longer. They went to a roller camshaft, which was for the life of the engine. They went to a 390 CFM carburetor, a very small carburetor that was going to choke down the amount of air that could come into that engine, thereby making it not produce a whole lot of horsepower. And the theory was that they'd last a long time, much more than a high compression engine would. And it worked very well for quite a while. And as everything evolves in racing, people find ways around those type of rules with still being within the rules. And the cost of building one of those engines became very, very high. And once they learned out how to get more air into them with having legal carburetors, but very, very expensive carburetors to buy, and all of the, I called it the cylinder head of the week, to make more horsepower out of these engines, the longevity of the engines suffered. The cost went way, way up. And so it became apparent to us when we first started talking about taking over this Tour that the 9-to-1 engine was probably not the way to go any longer. We really researched this a lot, and we patterned our rules fairly closely to what the Midwest ASA Tour has done, which has taken in a whole different group of engines that are legal. The Tour engine, yes, being legal, and the aluminum cylinder head, we call it a spec head, a Brodex cylinder head, and an open compression, open carburetor. The theory here is that we can build these engines cheaper, and they will last as long, much longer than the 9-to-1s. Like I said earlier, the 91s in its infancy was a great idea. But as they got, so they turned them on up and got more air into them in and out by better exhaust systems and so forth, they really outlived their usefulness. And it was apparent to us that not only the engines, but the type of cars that were running on the Northwest Tour were something that was not raced anywhere else in the nation. And we were very much pushed to make a change to the local type straight rail 65-inch wide car. That has been met with some resistance because it does make our rules virtually identical to some of the other traveling series that are around. And for that, I don't have a good answer for that. I can't sit here and say, Galen, gosh, you know, we just did it to do it. We did it because we were requested to do it. We did it because we felt it was best for the racing in the Northwest. We felt very strongly that the Northwest Tour, needed to come on this side of the mountains and race, and that was we have been able to accomplish that to a certain extent. Coming back to Evergreen Speedway is a huge thing for us. Going to Pacific Raceways for our road course race this year is huge. Going back down to Roseburg is huge, and through mishandling on my part, unfortunately, we are not going back to South Sound this year. We hope that we can mend that and get there at a later date, and I'm certainly hoping that will happen. And there's not a lot of people to blame for that except the man that's sitting here in these shoes.
Okay, one thing I wanted to ask Scott, and Ron, by all means, chime in on it too, but it was obvious that somebody needed to rein this whole thing in because it was just costing everybody out of whatever series. But, Scott, I'd be interested to hear what your comment is on the fact that I don't think that reining all this in affected the quality of racing at all.
Oh, no, not even close. As a matter of fact, I think it's actually going to increase the competition because wherever we go, we're going to be able to have cars come and compete. Kind of back up what Ron was saying. The drivers came to me the first race last year at South Sound, and Jason Frazier was one of those. And he says, you know, we have to do something. He says, I have to refresh my motor, but I don't want to refresh it and keep it a tour motor because I don't think that that's the route we're going to be heading. And every one of them came up to me in that race. I relayed to Ron that information. And then we had the promoters meeting, and every one of the promoters said, please change the rules. We want our local cars to be able to compete when you come to our racetrack. That adds credibility to our local program, that they can come and actually run with you, be competitive with you, maybe even beat you, and that makes our program even better than it ever was. And that was the only reasons that we changed the rules. And, of course, this is what's happening nationwide, is that they're basically going to a open comp type of race car so that wherever you go, you've got cars to run with you.
Well, Ron, I think you may have noticed it every Saturday night over at Yakima Speedway, the parody of your program. I know what it did out at Evergreen Speedway. And it was a lot of the fear was that, well, if you slow the cars down, it's going to not make for good racing. And you can prove it. Lex will be able to prove it this year. I mean, Galen, Carla, we all saw it, that the races were just awesome.
Well, we aren't really slowing the cars down. The tires will slow the cars down a little bit because we are on a little harder tire. These motors are still making up to 600, 610 horsepower, which is a tremendous amount of horsepower out of them. But the thing that we have done is to do it with weight for these different cars. And so, like we talked in an earlier segment, the crate motor, which is a motor for you folks out there that aren't associated with what a crate means, that is an engine that you purchase from General Motors. It's absolutely sealed, and it puts out 400 horsepower. That's the only configuration you can run it in. And but we've dropped the weight down on those cars, and they're very exciting to watch here. They're almost as fast as the 600 horsepower cars, and as the race wears on, because they are easier on the tires and on the overall abuse that the car has to take, they are in a lot of cases faster. So, and this may be the future that everybody goes to. We really don't know where the future is going to go with stock car racing, but what we do know and felt very strong about is that the tour type chassis and the tour only engine was something that was not going to survive. And that became very, very apparent to us very early in the season last year. And it's unfortunate that that it came about the way it did. If maybe we'd had a little bit more foresight, we may not have started out with just the tour rules, but mm-hmm. we did. And you have to remember that the tour did not come together in the ASA Northwest Tour configuration until the 13th of January 2007. That's when it came together. By that time, everybody's got their year planned. The sponsors have got their money spent on who they're going to advertise with. The schedules are set. And so for us to start out a series in January, and we started out with very low car count, we ended up with a good car count. I think it's because Scott listened, I listened, Jim Michelson listened, and we all know some of the decisions are not very popular. Those decisions were not made to hurt anybody. Those decisions were not made to upset anybody. Those decisions were made in our heart that we felt we were doing the right thing for racing.
Let's kind of recap as we end this segment with what is going on this weekend. We talked about the event you guys have planned out at Coast to Coast. Scott, you probably know the address by heart, don't you?
It's right there on Lewis Street.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly
well
Coast
done.
To Coast there.
Okay,
it's between
good
Main. It's between Main and Highway 2. That much I can tell you, and it's over if you're going, which would be south on Lewis Street. It's over on the left-hand side. You can't miss it.
All right. You've got that going on from what time to what time?
It's going to be from 11 to 2, and I don't know the streets out there, Scott, but it's directly across the street from Speedway Chevrolet.
That's
where
right.
Going to be. They have
yes,
moved.
It
in
is.
Our,
oh,
our,
they moved.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh,
that's
wow.
true.
I apologize.
Wow. Thanks,
it
Ron.
Is, it's up on the hill a little bit.
The,
there's a
by the prison. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly by the prison up there.
Gotcha.
In fact, when I went up there today, there was five guards came over and saw me, and they finally, after interrogation, let me go.
Well, it's probably the airport deal.
The
bullets.
<airport.
laughs>
And also practice tomorrow night. Kind of go over one of you two gentlemen.
I got it.
What's going on with practice?
5 o'clock. They'll open the back gates. We'll practice from 6 to 9. By the way, that's the only 5/8 practice that Evergreen is going to hold this season. So even if you're not going to be a competitor in the Tour, but you are going to be a competitor in the Superstock program, that's the only 5/8 practice you're going to get here. And then on Saturday, we're going to open up the back gates at 11 o'clock. There'll be a practice for both classes from 1:45 to 3:40. There'll be qualifying starting at 4 o'clock. Then there'll be some heat races for the ASA NSRA cars, the open wheel cars. There's going to be an autograph session, and at 7 o'clock everything gets underway with trophy dashes, the main event for the ASA NSRA, and of course the ASA Aero Exhaust Northwest Tour presented by Echo Outdoor Power Equipment main event brought to you by the Wolf 125 laps on the big 5/8 mile oval.
Ron, I want to I don't think in the over 2 years we've done this show I have ever felt the compelling need to correct you, but I'm going to. You made a comment in your last statement about where the future, there may not be a future for car racing around here, but I got to tell you, man, as long as there's guys like you and guys like Scott working your butts off to put on shows for diehard fans, and I'll bet there's going to be some, it's an impressive amount of people I think are going to be in the grandstand on Saturday, and without people like you and Scott, we know where the future is going because you're going to take us to it.
Well, we're sure going to try, and I didn't mean that we didn't know where the future was going to go, because stock car racing will be here in some form all the time. I meant to say we don't know where the future as far as the engines and that type of thing go. So, very proud to be here. Very quickly, before the music comes on, support your local racetrack. Without those racetracks, we will not have a place to go have our sport. Support your local racetrack. They do have faults, but they will make they'll do their very best to have the best place of family entertainment for you. Support the local track.
Ron, go get that PSA test.
There you go.
Ron, we're going to commercial because that's what the music means. So this is going to be, you got to give us a quick answer on this one.
I'll do it.
Yakima Speedway, your place, your track. Who is the driver that represents over the years? Who is the driver from Yakima Speedway?
Well, I'm going to show you how old I am, because I'd have to say it was it's probably between Don Dowdy and
Neil.
I can't hardly pick him out. Gordy Haynes.
Oh,
Gordy Haynes, my hero.
Good call.
He's probably the best. But man, you can't answer that in 30 seconds. You got.
I was going to ask you to bring him. I was going to ask you to bring him to the checkered flag, but I think we're out of time.
Well, you got Newberry and you got Jefferson. So you got a lot of good drivers that came out of there.
All right, we got to take a break. You guys want to stick around? We're going to talk with Kurt Kearns.
He's up next.
He's on the phone, holding patiently, and we'll be back after these messages. You're listening to North Sound Racing, presented by Action Auto Parts, and we've got.